Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on Patricia Perez, P-E-R-E-Z. Patricia Perez is a 51-year-old woman who reports she was injured at work on 2/25/22. Patricia was walking to the front bathroom's associate, bathrooms paired an associate mopped the floors with a wax stripper, and she was on the walkway, came around the corner, and slipped and fell on her back. Perci thinks she may have briefly lost consciousness, but it's not certain. She does believe she injured the left side of her head with a concussion, comma, neck, comma, left knee, comma, left hip and hamstring, comma, left side of tailbone, left foot and right arm. She did go to Vineland Hospital in Spirit of Vineland Hospital emergency room the same day. Paired with this and subsequent evaluation, she understands her final diagnosis to be many partial meniscal tears in her knee. She did undergo surgery on the left knee to shave the meniscus. She is no longer receiving any active treatment. Ms. Perez also volunteered that over time she had developed problems with her neck with stenosis from C3 to C5. It had been bearable for 3 years and was treated with therapy. She denies any subsequent injuries to the involved areas. New paragraph. For the record supplied, Ms. Perez was attended to by EMS practitioners on 2/25/22. She stated she slipped on the wet floor and fell backwards with no loss of consciousness. She denied any neck or back pain. She does have right wrist pain. She was seen at the emergency room the same day and underwent a CAT scan of the cervical spine with no prior studies available. There was no cervical spine fracture or subluxation. There were degenerative changes at multiple levels with disc-based narrowing and end plate sparing. Most prominent is C6-7, where there is a posterior disc osteophyte complex causing moderate central canal stenosis. There was also multi-level oncovertebral hypertrophy and hypertrophic facet change, causing varying degrees of foraminal narrowing. CAT scan of the head showed no acute intracranial process. X-rays of the right foot showed no fracture. X-rays of the right wrist and forearm showed no fractures. X-rays of the left knee showed no fracture. There was mild joint space narrowing across the medial compartment along with minimal sparring. X-rays of the chest showed no active disease. New paragraph. She then followed up in Spirit Health Urgent Care on 2/28/22. She confirmed that when she slipped and struck the back of her head, she did not have loss of consciousness. She did have multiple x-rays done at the emergency room. She reported all her injuries had resolved and she was pain-free except for her neck and head. She complained of neck pain without radiculopathy as well as headaches and tinnitus. She was already under the care of Rothman Institute for her chronic neck pain. History was remarkable for cervical spinal stenosis, hyperlipidemia, hypertension, and hypothyroidism. Upon exam, she had reduced range of motion of the neck. She was neurologically intact. She was diagnosed with cervical sprain and head injury, as well as muscle cramps and spasm. She was cleared for with cleared for modified activities and was advised to use extra strength Tylenol or an naproxen and a muscle relaxant as prescribed by Rothman. Period. New paragraph, Ms. Perez was seen by Dr. Disabella on 3-7-22 for evaluation of her concussion, period. She also carried a history of anxiety and depression, comma, MRSA, comma, and hypercholesterolemia, period. She had also undergone left carpal tunnel release, period. Dr. Disabella noted cognitive tests were normal. Period. He referenced the results of the CAT scan of the brain and cervical spine. Period. He rendered a diagnosis of concussion without loss of consciousness, for which he ordered physical therapy. Period. She continued to be seen by Dr. Disabella in the ensuing weeks, period, on 4-11-22. She states she was feeling better and period she had been attending physical therapy with good relief of her discomfort. Period, she was currently out of work, period, at that juncture. She was done to continue with therapy for her cervical spine and oculovestibular therapy. Period, she was going to remain out of work and would reevaluate in 2 weeks, anticipating maximum medical improvement at that time. Period. She did see Dr. Disabella again on 4-25-22. Period, she continues to have mild cognitive issues, but her balance has greatly improved. Period, she was going to continue with oculovestibular therapy. Period, she will start pushing herself cognitively and physically. Period, however, she was unable to work at this time. Period, Dr. Disabella monitored her progress through 5-23-22. Period, she was doing well at this point. Period, he discharged her at maximum medical improvement to full duty. Period, new paragraph. The petitioner was seen by a colleague of Dr. Disabella named Dr. McAlpin on 10-25-22 for left knee pain. Period, this was a need for treatment evaluation. Period, he noted the diagnostics done at the emergency room on 2-28-22, including x-rays of the left knee. Period, she denied having any further treatment on the knee and was released back to work. Period, she stood 68 inches tall and weighed 235 pounds. Period, her BMI was 35.73. Period, Dr. McAlpin reviewed the x-rays and found no fractures or dislocations. Period, he rendered a diagnosis of left knee pain, comma, left knee sprain, comma, and suspected complex tear of the medial meniscus. Period, she continued to see Dr. McAlpin over the next few months. Period, on 12-6-22, he wrote that after the corticosteroid injection administered at the first visit, her knee was feeling achy and had sharp pains with turning. Period. She was actually underwent this injection on the current visit and was started on Mobic. Period. On 12-7-22, the petitioner was seen by another colleague named Dr. DiVenero for right foot pain. Period. She was weight-bearing in a cam boot at the time. Period. He referenced the results of an MRI of the right foot, whose report we have and should be inserted here. Period. He noted there was bipartite medial sesamoid with minimal stress reactive edema. Appeared there was otherwise no appreciable soft tissue or osseous injury. Appeared there was no evidence of a lateral column stress fracture. Appeared there was some inflammation noted on the plantar aspect of the great toe. However, she had no pain on that side of the foot. Appeared he authorized her to discontinue the boot and resume weight bearing as tolerated in supportive shoe wear. But he also cleared her for full duty without restriction and deemed she had reached maximum medical improvement. Period. New paragraph. She returned to Dr. McAlpin on 1/3/23, describing 85% improvement in her left knee after the 12/6/22 injection until last week. Period. She's on restrictions that involve no kneeling or stooping and no lifting to exceed 25 pounds. Period. He had a suspicion for a medial meniscal tear and referred her for an MRI of the knee. Period. Insert those results here. She then underwent surgery on the left knee by Dr. McAlpin on 3/13/23 to be inserted here. Period. She followed up postoperatively, such as on 5/5/23. Period. She was status post arthroscopic partial medial meniscectomy. Period. She was again prescribed Mobic and was cleared for regular work duties. Period. She was placed at maximum medical improvement. Period. Nevertheless, she returned to Dr. McAlpin on 4/14/23 for left knee pain. Period. She demonstrated excellent progressive improvement. Period. She is pleased with her knee improvements. Period. He recommended converting to home exercises. Period. She would be placed at regular work duties without restrictions and return in a month for maximum medical improvement determination. Period. She also claimed that upon waking up from her arthroscopic knee surgery, from the cervical spine down the arm and into her fingers, thumb, and index, she had symptoms. Period. These had progressed since the surgery. Period. She informed Dr. McAlpin that she had stenosis aggravated from her fall, treated by one of their associates for the work injury. Period. Dr. McAlpin recommended this be evaluated by one of the cervical spine specialists. Period. He did not do any exam of the cervical spine during her postoperative knee exam, but document her complaints upon awakening from her left knee arthroscopy. Period. It can be noted that during her arthroscopic surgery, her arms are in an abductor position out to her side, which may irritate the stenosis present in her neck. Period. New paragraph. She underwent a need for a treatment evaluation relative to her cervical pain by Dr. D'Isabella on 9/14/23. Pretty referenced numerous diagnostic studies that will be inserted as marked. Period. And put this in bold. We might have these reports separately so we can use those to insert. Period. The doctor learned that her primary care physician was Dr. KACZAJ for over 15 years. Period. She claims to have started having left upper extremity radiculopathy and cervical pain after the knee surgery in March of 2023. Period. She denied being seen by a chiropractor in the last 10 years. Period. She does have a fairly extensive history of previous cervical injuries and had multiple MRIs. Period. Quote, although the patient is currently complaining of radicular symptoms in her left upper extremity, she does have an extensive history of cervical radiculopathy. Period. She is complaining of that the pain started after her knee surgery, but I do not think her cervical pain or radiculopathy is directly related to this injury or the surgery. Period. I do not think the patient needs further care at this time in relation to her work-related injury for her cervical spine. Period. She may need future care secondary to her pre-existing disc disease, which was present prior to her surgery and prior to this injury. Period. And underline this, we do have The report of the MRI of the right foot from 11/15/22 to be inserted appropriately, if not already. Page on 11/18/19, she was seen by Dr. Lutsky, L-U-T-S-K-Y, for an apparent left carpal tunnel release surgery. Period. On 11/21/22, she was seen by Dr. Zucconi for low back pain. Period. She stated that since the incident when she fell, she had aching pain above the left butt cheek / lower lumbar, and when in the process of standing, she feels sharp pain pulling strain into her coccyx. Here today, she has a boot on her right foot from another incident, which she states is worsening her lumbar pain due to the imbalance. Period, and put the another incident phrase in a different color, or highlight it with a different color. Overall, Dr. Zucconi wrote she had been working a new job in retail for the past 5 months. Here she stated she was unable to go back to her job duties, including light duty following the injury. Period, she had ongoing left knee as well as right foot issues. Period, she recommended up-to-date radiographs of the lumbar spine as well as the left hip. Period, she would begin physical therapy for her lumbar spine and iliotibial band dysfunction. Period, he did reference the MRI of the right foot and opined this is not going to be a limiting factor in her ability to perform therapy. Period. The patient desired outcome is pain relief since the injury. She reports having continued concussion symptoms. Comma, the right foot has been progressively steadily painful. Comma, the left knee has also had no improvement since the injury. Period. There was no evidence of lumbar herniated disc disease or neurologic dysfunction. Period. In regards to her lumbar spine, there were no limitations on her job duties. Period. At the visit of 119/23, nearly a year since the accident, she had made little to no progress with physical therapy. Period. Her exam is consistent with piriformis type pain as well as mechanical lower back pain. Period. Due to the length of time of symptoms and lack of progression and prior to any further intervention, he recommended an MRI of the lumbar spine as well as the left hip. Period. He noted she had referred radicular pain that can be an issue and present like this, as well as hip musculature tears. Period. In a normal setting of a fall in time, most patients will improve with no intervention. Period. Studies report 90% of all back pain is resolved within 90 days. Period. She returned to Dr. Zucconi on 1/26/23. He referenced the results of MRI of the left hip and lumbar spine to be inserted as marked. Period. He rendered diagnosis of left hamstring injury, comma, tendinopathy of the gluteus medius, comma, and spondylosis of the lumbar region without myelopathy or orbiculopathy. Period. He recommended physical therapy dedicated to the hamstring and gluteal muscle, but this is difficult if she is undergoing left knee surgery with Dr. McAlpin in the coming weeks, more than likely. Period. It is difficult to perform therapy when she's going to be acutely postoperative. Period. He also discussed possible corticosteroid injections or PRP therapy. Period. He wrote that after her knee surgery and completion of therapy, in regards to the injury he was treating, she was capable of regular work duty and discharged her from care. Period. On 3/2/23, Dr. Zucconi performed preoperative medical clearance for her left knee surgery. Period. On 3/13/23, Dr. McAlpin performed left knee arthroscopy with partial medial meniscectomy, semicolon, abrasion chondroplasty to bleeding bone of the patella on the left knee. Per the postoperative diagnosis were left knee, medial meniscal tear with patella chondromalacia and left knee pain. Per new paragraph. Prior records show, at the referral of Dr. Kazaj, she underwent an MRI of the cervical spine on 7/19/13. Per the history given was neck pain and right arm pain and numbness and a possible sports injury. Per insert those results here. Period. On 8/30/13, she was seen at Rothman Institute by Dr. Mehnert, M-E-H-N-E-R-T. Period. She reports intermittently over the past few months, she started to notice some right-sided neck pain and episodes of numbness into her right arm. Period. They occur without any specific activity. Period. She has no symptoms in the left arm, nor does she have any balance issues or numbness in the upper limbs. Period. She has tried treating it with some medications and had some success with anti-inflammatory and muscle relaxant medication. Period. She recently had an MRI of the neck and comes in today for further evaluation and management. Period. He noted the results of her cervical spine MRI. Period. Cervical spine x-rays with flexion and extension were done in the office and showed no fracture. Period. There was some mild straightening of the usual curvature. Period. There was some degenerative change with loss of disc height at C5-6 and C6-7. Period. There was no fracture or instability identified. Period. She did have decreased range of motion of the cervical spine. Period. He thought she had symptomatic right cervical radiculitis. Period. He did not appreciate any weakness on exam that day. Period. They discussed treatment options, and she was very reluctant to try any kind of cervical intervention. Period. Quote, I explained to her that if her symptoms persist or worsen, she will need to be reevaluated, and we could consider injections for pain control as well. Period. End quote. For now, he gave her a prescription for anti-inflammatories such as Naprosyn, and she could continue Flexeril. Period. She would also start a formal physical therapy program. Period. If symptoms did not progress, he would put her on a trial of a Medrol dose pack. Period. New paragraph on 1/11/18. Dr. Falcone, F-A-L-C-O-N-E, at Rothman Institute, evaluated her for chronic neck pain and bilateral periscapular pain radiating into her upper extremities. Period. He noted she had thyroid disease, which was controlled medically. Period. He performed an EMG, whose results will be inserted here. His diagnostic impressions were bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome, comma, paresthesia of the skin, comma, and cervicalgia. Period. New paragraph, and I believe this is chronologically out of order, but on 12/6/17, she was seen by Dr. Woods at Rothman also for her cervical spine. Period. She had neck and bilateral arm pain and was last seen in 2013 by Dr. Mehnert. Period. She had an ongoing history of neck pain at the base that radiates down both arms, described as numbness. Period. This had been progressively worsening since 2013 when she saw Dr. Mehnert. Period. After performing his exam, he performed cervical spine x-rays that showed mild degenerative changes of the posterior elements, but no fractures or spondylolisthesis. Period. He rendered diagnosis of cervicalgia as well as paresthesia of the skin and started her on a Medrol dose pack. Period. Electrodiagnostic studies were also ordered. Period. She saw Dr. Woods again on 1/24/18 to review the results of her EMG period. He wrote, this testing did not show any overt clinical evidence of a cervical radiculopathy. But given her persistent symptoms, he wanted to move forward with an MRI of the cervical spine. She was also placed in bilateral wrist braces. Period. She did undergo an MRI of the cervical spine. These results should be inserted here. Period. On 11/13/19, Dr. Lutzky performed left carpal tunnel release. Period. The postoperative diagnosis was left carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. Dr. Woods then started her on gabapentin on 7/16/19. Period. She continued to see Dr. Lutzky, such as on 10/17/19. Period. X-rays of the left wrist revealed no relevant underlying bony abnormalities. Period. She reported having a lump on her wrist. Period. He wrote the EMG showed evidence of bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. She also had a left dorsal wrist ganglion with some element of overlapping cervical spine symptomatology. Period. They elected to pursue surgical intervention. Period. She then did undergo the surgery just described on 11/13/19. Period. She followed up postoperatively with Dr. Woods on 11/25/19. Period. Her ganglion cyst had resolved at the time of her surgery, and management of this was deferred. Period. He did perform the left carpal tunnel release. Period. In the paragraph, she returned to Dr. Woods on 2/25/20 for her neck pain at an 8/10 level. Period. He cited the results of a CAT scan of the cervical spine on 2/17/20. That will be inserted here, either from his letter or from the actual report. Period. He concluded she had right-sided neck pain that he suspected was cervical spondylosis with a strong overlying myofascial component. Period. She does have concomitant carpal tunnel syndrome in the left hand as well. Period. He titrated her gabapentin level. Period. She was referred to physical therapy, but not repeat EMG. Period. No additional imaging was ordered, nor was an injection performed. Period. When she saw Dr. Woods on 4/30/20, she complained of neck and right shoulder pain. Period. She had been referred to physical therapy and prescribed medication for this in February. Period. She had therapy, but had some trouble tolerating some of the exercises. Period. She reports improvement in her pain. Period. However, the pain increases with activities. Period. She also experiences spasms in the right shoulder, but it has improved. Period. She has a specific area on her shoulder which increases her pain when pressure is applied. Period. She is concerned there may be an issue with her right shoulder. Period. He noted she had similar complaints in 2013, and a cervical spine MRI was completed at that time. Period. He continued her on conservative care and referred her for another cervical spine MRI. Period. She saw Dr. Armstrong on 6/12/20, also at Rothman Orthopedics. Period. He noted the results of her recent cervical MRI that will be inserted Here is marked from his cover letter or the actual report. Third, he made medication adjustments. Third, she was not given additional therapy since she stated physical therapy made her worse. Third, she was provided neck exercises that should be done on a daily basis at home. Period. On 11/9/20, she was seen by Dr. Chanick, C-H-A-N-N-I-C-K, for bilateral knee pain, also at Rothman. Period, the left knee started approximately 5 days ago. Period, she was in an altercation at work, and something pushed into her knee and hyperextended it. Period, she felt a pop and pain in the anterior part of her knee, after which it swelled. Period, she applied ice and used naproxen and a muscle relaxer when the swelling improved. Period, she feels like it was improving, but she continues to have pain around the anterior lateral patella. Period, she denies a history of issues with the left knee in the past. Period. X-rays of the knee showed mild to moderate degenerative change, worse at the medial compartment. Period, there was no fractures, joint space abnormalities, or osseous abnormalities. Period, he diagnosed right knee osteoarthritis and left knee hyperextension injury. Period. Go back a couple of sentences. When I said the left knee x-rays, that should be right knee x-rays. Mild to moderate degenerative change, worse at the medial compartment. Period, he started her on meloxicam and discussed the potential for getting an MRI. Period. On 12/11/20, Dr. Chanick adjusted his diagnostic assessments to include left knee hyperextension injury with likely bone contusion. Period. In paragraph on 3/27/23, she did see Dr. Zucconi. Period. And put this in bold. This likely actually follows the earlier treatment that was being described current with her current injury. Period. He wrote she was being seen for lower lumbar and left hip pain. Period. She had improvement in her range of motion since last seen in January 2023. Period. She had soreness with excessive movement and improvement in range of motion since that visit. Period. He rendered several diagnostic assessments that will be inserted here without the diagnostic codes. Period. As far as her left hamstring injury, she had excellent motion and no evidence of radiculopathy. Period, she is recovering from knee surgery. Period, following her therapy, she will be released from his care. Period, in his opinion, there is no injection or procedural intervention that is necessary at this time. Period. In paragraph on 10/26/17, Ms. Perez was seen by her primary care physician, Dr. K-A-C-Z-A-J, period. History was remarkable for hypothyroidism, comma, obesity, comma, thyroid nodule, comma, cervical spine degenerative joint disease, comma, as well as anxiety and depression. She was taking several different medications. Period. He monitored her progress over the ensuing months and made medication adjustments as necessary. Period. On 2/21/19, she reported being in Mexico the previous week and was bit by a bug. Period. She complained of swollen glands in her neck, dizziness, and nausea ever since. Period. She also was having problems with her right ankle. Period. He continued to see her through 4/5/23, period, referred for a mammogram. Period, diagnoses included morbid severe obesity due to excess calories as well as primary osteoarthritis. Period. On his visit of 4/3/23, she claimed that ever since her left knee surgery 3 weeks ago, she has been having pain on her left side of her neck down to her arm. that she describes as pins and needles. Period. On the visit with this primary care physician on 9/26/22, he noted she was under the care of workers' compensation provider due to a previous fall on 2/25/22. She asked to reopen her case 4 months ago and was still awaiting a response. She was advised on rheumatology evaluation. Period. Paragraph, she had a chest x-ray on 2/17/20 that was read as normal. Period. She had a CAT scan of the cervical spine on 2/17/20 given a history of neck pain. Period, there was no cervical spine fracture or subluxation. Period, there were degenerative changes, including multi-level degenerative disc disease with disc space narrowing and end plate sparing. Most prominent is C4-5, C5-6, and C6-7, where there are varying degrees of central canal narrowing with at least moderate central canal stenosis, and C5-6 and C6-7 secondary to posterior disc osteophyte complexes. Evaluation is limited secondary to streak artifact in this region. There is multi-level uncovertebral hypertrophy and hypertrophic facet change causing various degrees of foraminal narrowing. And put this in bold, so it is clear she did have pre-existing cervical spine issues similar to those she claimed to experience after the subject event. Ms. Perez did undergo a cervical spine MRI on 5/1/20 compared to one done on 7/19/13. Insert those results here. She had x-rays of the right foot on 5/21/18 that showed no evidence of fracture or dislocation, but there was a small calcaneal spur seen. Paired x-rays of the right ankle that same day were read as normal. Paired. She had an ultrasound of the soft tissues of the neck on 6/8/18. Paired, there was a small lymph node at the site of the palpable lump. She had an MRI of the right ankle on 6/20/18 to be inserted here. Period. She had a CAT scan of her neck due to the aforementioned lump. Period. MRI of the left knee was done on 1/9/23 to be inserted in the appropriate place, not in the past medical history section. Period. She also had an MRI of the lumbar spine on 1/23/23, whose results will be inserted as just mentioned above. Period. Similarly, she had an MRI of the left hip that same day, whose results will be inserted. Where they go chronologically. Period. New paragraph. General appearance, she was very pleasant, period. Extremities upper normal, extremities lower. There were healed portal scars about the left knee, but no swelling, atrophy, or effusions, period. Left knee range of motion was full with crepitus, but no tenderness, period. Motion of the right knee as well as both hips and ankles was full on all planes without crepitus or tenderness. Period, knee maneuvers normal, feet and ankles normal. Cervical normal, thoracic normal, lumbosacral. She changed positions fluidly and was able to squat with support. Period, the rest of that section is normal. Impressions. On 2/25/22, Patricia Perez fell at work. Period, she claims to have injured multiple body areas. Period, she was seen at the emergency room and had symptoms that were more confined. Paradiagnostic studies did not show any acute osseous abnormalities. She then received treatment from various orthopedic specialists. She also underwent numerous diagnostic studies. On 11/18/19, she underwent surgery, whose report will be inserted here. On 3/13/23, she underwent surgery, whose report will be inserted here. period, new paragraph, the petitioner previously had musculoskeletal symptoms similar to those she had after the subject event. Paired these ironically include, scratch that, she had diagnostic studies done at that time that identified the same abnormalities seen after the subject event. Period. The current exam was very benign. Paired, she had crepitus at the left knee with full range of motion. Paired, provocative maneuvers there were negative. Paired, she did not have tenderness at the left hamstring or gluteus or anywhere else throughout the musculoskeletal system. Paired, the remaining provocative maneuvers were also negative. Paired, new paragraph, I will offer assessments of 0% due to her head slash concussion. Paired, in terms of the right foot, there is 0% from this incident. Paired, this is also the case with the right arm and hand and right knee. Paired, her left knee has some disability with a notable prior left knee problem and possible surgery. Paired, similarly, her left hamstring and tailbone has, her left hip hamstring and tailbone had 0% permanent partial or total disability. Paired, once again, she had symptoms in these regions years before the subject event, speaking to their lack of causal relationship. Period. End.